Welcome to the Marketing Growth Podcast. This podcast episode is sponsored by Ahrefs. I'm your host, Shane Barker, and I have with me today Eric Qualman, best-selling author and keynote speaker. In the previous episode, Eric talked about how he got started in digital marketing. Today, we're going to take a deeper dive into his literary journey. Before we start the interview, I wanted to share a success story with you real quick. Here it goes. One of my clients was struggling to drive traffic to their website. They tried all sorts of keywords and SEO strategies, but nothing seemed to work. Finally, they approached me for help. We used this great keyword tool set called Ahrefs to analyze the keywords they were targeting. Turns out their keywords were not the best in terms of cost, competition, or keyword search. We started overhauling their SEO strategy step by step. We didn't want to abandon their high-ranking pages, so we used Ahrefs' top pages feature to compare page performance on the SERP. Now we knew what pages and backlinks to keep. Next, the tool found keywords worth targeting, the ones with low risk and low volume. It also snooped around their competitor's website and dug into their keyword analytics. From there, it was just a matter of replicating or improving upon their strategy. Lo and behold, the website started to get some traction. If you're facing the same traffic issues, head over to ahrefs.com. Watch them in action and sign up for their 7-day trial. It's just $7. Verified website owners can use their site audit and site explorer tool for free. Just sign up for the Ahrefs webmaster tool, no credit required. For tool details, check out their blog and their YouTube channel. So let's talk about this, man. You've written 6 books, right? So, and that is no small feat, because I started writing my first book, I think, when I was 4 years old, and I still haven't finished it. So your focus book that I'm gonna literally read from top to bottom is gonna be like literally I'm gonna focus on, and then I'm gonna finish my book. But let's talk a little bit about, you talked a little bit about Socionomics, right? But I really want to talk about the Focus Project, because that's your newest one. Obviously, this is a podcast; nobody can see this, but you have it actually on your staircase. The picture, the guy on the picture looks exactly like you, which is amazing. Tell us a little bit about that book. Why did you write that book? Like, what was the premise behind that? Like, what are you trying to get out there?
So I was wrestling with, because I own my own company, I'm a speaker, I own my own time. And then I reflected, well, everyone does. You just happen to work at a company per se, but you've made that decision. But each day I'd fall asleep and my hair was on fire. And I go, this is crazy. If I'm having this issue, everyone must be having this issue. And I talked to school teachers, to CEOs, to huge thought leaders on down the line. Everyone wrestles with focus. You know, you only have so much time, but you've already signed up for all these things that you can't get to. It's not even possible.
Yeah.
And so what I started to get excited about is what would happen if this month I just focused on one thing, whether that's growth or sales, or I focused on just the house, like all the stuff that needs to be done around the house. And so I started to write down, if I were to pick one thing per month, what that would look like. And I got super excited and I had a list of about 50. Obviously, there's only 12 months in a year. So I cut that down to 12. And then ironically, I compared that to what are the number one New Year's resolutions. Almost perfect alignment. Like New Year's resolutions across the globe.
Yeah.
Wow, almost perfect alignment. And then it's like, okay, my 12's aligned with that. Then I looked at what are the top selling books of all time. Almost perfect alignment, those 12 things. So I go, okay, this isn't necessarily new, but it's new from a standpoint of in this digital world, there's even more distractions, more things that are chewing up our time. We're supposed to be working less. Like there's a famous 1930s economist, Keynes, wrote that we'd only be working 15 hours a day because of all this technology. Completely wrong, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what I was trying to unearth. And in essence, I go, this isn't easy. Focus is hard, really, really hard. But it's learning the not so simple habit of doing less better, the not so simple art of doing less better. And so that's what we learned throughout the process and unearthed a ton of stuff. I was the guinea pig testing essentialism, stoicism, testing all this stuff that might sound good in books, but what works and what doesn't work. And so we had a lot of good findings that I'm happy to discuss here, but we moved the book forward. We didn't anticipate a pandemic. You always want to launch books basically in October. They sell better.
Yeah.
And so it's unheard of and crazy to move a book forward like this. But so many people were pinging us saying, hey, I'm physically okay. I don't have the virus, but mentally we're struggling. And so I really need this book to focus, or my friend needs it. So we moved it forward.
That's awesome. I tell you, I think once again, not you know, I'm a little disappointed that you didn't know there was going to be a pandemic before it happened, because I thought if anybody with those glasses, you would totally know. But that's okay. You can't do everything. The focus, I think what I liked about it, and I just started reading just a little bit about it, is that you focus on the 12 months. And I myself, as a focusing is difficult. And you realize that, I think through reading part of it, is that it's everybody's problem, right? That it's like, because I look at this and I think of somebody like yourself, of you have the animation, you have your book, you have your speaking, like I am a smaller level of you. And it's like, I can't imagine what you have to deal with focus wise with your team and everything you've got, launches and everything. And then like how to, once again, be more productive and focus better, right? Because it's like, great, we get interns, we get this, we get that, we have people helping us, but it's like how to be like, I guess, really laser focused, right? In regards to being able to get stuff done. And I think the fact that you did that in 12 months, you really focused on one thing and actually did that. I don't know if there's enough medication for me, and I'm not heavily medicated. I probably should be, but I just imagine like how hard was that, like to transition and say, okay, this month I'm going to focus on mindfulness and to do that.
No, very hard. So truth be told, the first year was a bunch of fails. So 4 times I tried to do this and failed. So that's how hard this is. Then the 5th time it finally stuck. And so that's what we talk about a lot in the book, is you're not going for perfection, you're going for progress. And then a lot of us, like you mentioned, there's CEOs that I'd sit there, I'd get off stage, I'm talking to them, I go, whoa, this person has 20,000 people underneath them. I go, what's your secret to success? And they go, focus. And I go, what's your biggest challenge each and every day? They go, maintaining that focus.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to unearth, is we're not going for perfection, we're going for progress. So I actually graded myself each month. And you brought up mindfulness, which is great, because I think off the top of my head, C+ I got that month. So much better than the F I was getting, because we know we're supposed to journal. We know we're supposed to, you know, do yoga and meditate, but it's finding that time and doing it consistently. And so C+ was much better than my F, but there's still a long way for me to go. But it's really, a lot of it's not necessarily, we know what we need to do, it's how to do it. So that's what we're trying to figure out. So I'm going to ask you a question, because it's helpful to know yourself. Learning is, what are your strengths and how to play to them? Or basically, know thyself and go deep on it, focus on that. So there's basically 4 focus animals that we figured out. There's the hedgehog, and I'll go over each one of these super high level. Hedgehog, chameleon, army ant, and squirrel. Now we're gonna major in one and minor in another. All 4, you probably have some tendencies of them, but you really major in one and minor in the other. So squirrel, you can probably imagine, that's FOMO, right? You're really good at starting projects, and then you go to the next shiny thing. And that can be a good thing. Like, you're really good at that. Like, you might be in sales, you might be able to kick off a project, but you can't finish that because the next thing looks too good. So that's what a squirrel looks like. If you look at a chameleon is a people pleaser. And normally that's a good thing, right? When you think about tribes for thousands of years, they're really good at helping people. You have a good emotional intelligence, but you might be doing something like fill in the blank. It might be, I'll be in this role because my kids are in school and I really need to pay for their education. So you're putting someone else first, which is okay, but you're not chasing your dream. Gotcha. And so that's a problem for everybody in that segment. It is. You might not think that, but that's what a chameleon looks like, is you put others first. Or I'm going to get a degree in accounting because my mom's an accountant, I'll make her happy. And so that's an example of a chameleon. So their focus goes to the other person. Your focus isn't on your dream.
Gotcha.
So if you look at some of the other ones, army ant, an army ant can carry 5,000 times their weight, but that doesn't mean they should, because it might not go down the hill in the hole. You can't get it in there.
Yeah.
And so that's what I kind of majored. I take on too many things at once. And one of the big learnings was, you'll actually get more done focused on one thing at a time rather than parallel processing a bunch of stuff. And so that one's really, really intriguing in terms of that standpoint, to look at that one. So of those 3 I mentioned, which one do you think jumps out?
So it's funny. So army ant used to be me. I used to be really terrible at delegation. And I'm like, hey, let me go ahead and put everything on my shoulders and do that. And there was something that happened. I don't know what it was. It was an epiphany. There was something where I realized, hey, listen, like this, I can't keep going in this direction. So I pivoted from there and said, hey, listen, I can't do that. Have a great team now of 36 people that are awesome. But I would say the squirrel thing is, used to be a big issue. COVID actually has helped me with that, because the squirrel thing was like, hey, we should do this. Hey, we started doing it. I'm like, oh, look, we can do this too. And I'm like, hey. And then my team's like, oh, what about this? And I'm like, oh, we'll keep doing that. And we'll do this too. And they're like, oh, cool. Should we hire more people? No, let's do it with the current. And they're like, how do we, like, you know, and then all of a sudden we have 10 projects going. COVID helped me with this, because then what I did is I reevaluated, hey, I've got 10 things going. What is really making me money? How much time am I putting into that? And is it beneficial for the community or for people?
Right.
And I started to look at that and go, I cut out 4 or 5 projects that were just going because we had enough money to do them. And that's great. But the problem is, there's really no benefit to it yet, right? I mean, it's like, why am I continuously, and we're doing this at 10% and I'm not going to really get it done for another year, but really there's no benefits. I'm putting tons of resources into other stuff, you know? And then the chameleon actually is interesting, because I think—
Oh, then I forgot Hedgehog, but I was projecting you, but your listeners might be a hedgehog. Hedgehog is, you essentially will take on, you'll write a book once you get a master's in writing. Do you feel like you have to have armor before you go into the arena? That it's like, I'm going to do that tomorrow when I've completed XYZ rather than starting today. So that's what a hedgehog looks like. I was kind of projecting and go over it, because I know you probably don't have that tendency, but some of the listeners might.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually, hedgehog is not, yeah, for me, that's not an issue. Like, I'm just like, I'm going to go do it because I can and I will, other than writing my book, which I told you I started, I think, when I was 4 years old, but in crayon or something that I haven't finished. But the chameleon thing is, it kind of resonates with me a little bit as well, because I do think that, you know, sometimes I like to be able to help other people, right? And that's kind of my thing. And that's the reason I jumped into the SBA stuff, is because it's like, I can help people, right? So I'm kind of putting some of my stuff aside, saying, listen, I could make more money doing this or doing that, but I really would love to. I know that people can't sleep at night, right? Because of their business, and they've built this thing up and now it looks like it's all crumbling. And if I can put some ease to that, then I think that's kind of where my calling is like, hey, I've learned all this, then how can I give it to people? Of course, we're creating a course now so that it's not, so I can help, you know, thousands of people instead of, you know, individual people at once. So I kind of feel like I'm a combination of all of them, but I would say probably the chameleon, because the squirrel used to be that, and you know, the hedgehog I'm not too worried about. Like, hey, I know I can anything I can put my mind to, I've got a great team, we could do it. But the focusing on stuff, like literally when I say this is not just me saying this for the podcast, the focusing on stuff because of COVID has helped me there, and I think reading your book is going to help me as well, being able to do that. So I'm excited about that for sure. So I know that we're going to talk about, you obviously got it on Amazon, are you going to be doing an Audible? Are you going to
be
doing
the Audible?
I just
got done reading it. So we just have to confirm that I didn't screw up too many times, because I'm not a professional reader and I say that. But I think there is something when the author actually reads the book, because I provide insights here and there that aren't in the printed form. And so that should be out in about a week or two. So I've gotten done reading it. My voice still functions somehow after reading that whole thing, but we're all good.
I think that is awesome. I agree with you. I listen to a lot of Audible books. In fact, I'll just go, my big thing is I call it a beer and a book. I don't know if a lot of people this, but what I'll do is I'll actually drive. Like, so I live in Sacramento. So I'll like drive to South Lake Tahoe. It's about 2 hours. I'll actually listen to the book all the way there, go to a brewery, have a beer, have some food, and I'll drive back. And so I've just done that. Once again, the reason I do it is because it's like,
oh, that's pretty funny. That's awesome.
Well, because then I focus, because then I can focus because I'm driving. And then it's like, if not, I'm like, I can do this. And then I've got like ADHD, and it's like, there goes the focus. We're missing that. So now I like force myself. My wife's like, where are you going? I'm like, B&B. And she goes, okay, I'm doing a beer and a book. And she, you know, is sleeping. She's a nurse and works, you know, night graveyard or whatever at nights. And so anyways, I'll just go and I just shoot out and say, all right, here we go. I want to go to this brewery. It's 3 hours away. I'll get a 6-hour book and just go back and forth. So that's how I'm forcing myself to focus on that stuff. So
I love that. Beer and a book. That's awesome. And then you probably know this. I looked this up today. The average Audible book is 10 hours. And so I was looking across, because I go, we got done. It was 10 hours. And I go, oh my gosh, is that like crazy long? Because I'm writing a book on focus. Is that too long? And then I looked it up. I'm like, oh no, Tim Ferriss is 22 hours, 4.5 hours, 14 hours. Ray Dalio is 17. But then I looked at Malcolm Gladwell, 7-8. Essentialism was 6.5. So it's kind of funny.
That's funny. Yeah, I think you're solid at 10. The thing is, now I just have to find, for your book, because I'm going to get it obviously on Audible as well, I just have to find a brewery that's 5 hours away. So that's my goal. Like, I have a brewery map and I'm like, this is 4.5. No, not far enough. Five and 15 minutes. That's it. So your book will be, I have the PDF. I'm going to take, you know, taking some notes, looking at that, and then I'm going to actually listen to it.
I like
and
it.
And I'm going to focus. Yeah, yeah.
And we wrote it in modular format so you can skip around. So you're okay if you skip a section or two.
No,
so
you're good. That's me not focusing, buddy. I gotta go straight page 1 to page 350 or whatever it is. I gotta go all in. If not, it's like, then I'm not gonna finish it. And there we go. Thanks, Eric. That was really exciting. In the next episode, I'm excited to chat about your animation studio, Equalmen. I'm curious to know more about it. Stay tuned for another insightful episode with Eric Qualman.